Blog Talk Radio.
How's it going, everybody? It is Chris Block here, the Third Man in Radio, here on Blog Talk Radio, here on this Monday afternoon special edition, September the 12th, 2011, 2 o'clock here in Chicago, and it is Blog Talk Radio. Special guest here on the line today. We're going to get right into it, an afternoon edition. Don't have a lot of time today, but the play-by-play voice of the Rockford Ice Hogs, Mike Peck. How you doing tonight, Mike?
Hey, I'm doing great, Chris. Thanks for having me, as always.
Thanks for jumping on with us. I know it's a busy time out there in Rockford, getting ready for the season ticket drive and everything. I know there was a note in the Rockford Register-Star last week that season tickets are basically on par already at this stage with last year. How's everything going out there?
It's going good. You know, we don't have as much maybe momentum as what we had last year from, the Hawks championship run, but, we're coming off of a year where the team was up and down, but finished strong, and we're going to have a lot of the same personnel back on the club. So I think fans are excited to see this team back out on the ice. And, it's been a long off season. It's been a while since we haven't had postseason hockey here in Rockford. So missing the playoffs last year stung a little bit. And, I think everybody's anxious to get back on the ice.
You know, it's interesting you should mention that. We should talk about that a little bit, because I think for Blackhawks fans that have been caught up in the hysteria of a successful team, and you kind of forget that the Rockford Ice Hogs organization was around long before. I believe this is going to be the 13th season, long before the Blackhawks had happened along in the AHL, and it was a successful team. In 2007, they won the UHL championship, and then they switched over to the Blackhawks, and the Blackhawks were rebuilding at a lot of young prospects, a lot like this year. Talk about, how fans have received the team and that transition of expecting to be a dominant team or atop the conference every year to now understanding that there's more to it than just that.
Well, I don't know what the expectations were from a winning standpoint, but I know that there was a decent amount of resistance to the change. And part of it was this was the brand, the UHL hockey was the brand of hockey that a lot of fans here, I guess you could say, grew up watching. I say grow up, they grew up in their hockey fandom watching, and when we announced that we were changing to the American Hockey League as the top affiliate of the Blackhawks, the Hawks were suffering through another long season, and it was the summer before, it was actually the spring before, they drafted Patrick Kane number one overall, so they had the number one overall pick that following summer. A lot of fans weren't really that excited, believe it or not, that this team was going to be affiliated with the Chicago Blackhawks. And then, boom, the 2007-08 season hits. Like you mentioned, the team here was just dynamite that year. Easily top three or four team in all the American Hockey League, and could have easily won the Calder Cup, but fell to the Chicago Wolves in the division finals. And then, of course, Chicago, built some excitement that year. Then the 2008 or 9 season was the season which the Hawks ended up going all the way to the Western Conference Finals. And that was the year that they started really utilizing some more guys from their system. And once the fans saw that, then they started buying in definitely to what the Blackhawks were doing, what the American Hockey League was all about. And, Chicago's been really still developing from within ever since. And, it's been a while. It wasn't just here in Rockford. If you look back to the 2006-2007 season, there was a lot of guys from the Norfolk Admirals that made it up to the Chicago Blackhawks. So it's cool to see a team utilize their system. And you look around, the National Hockey League and the teams that are able to sustain. And this, Chris, they're the teams that are able to replenish from within. It's always great to go out there and get the big free agent signing. But if you can't replace a lot of role players, and you look at last year's Hawks team, a lot of those guys weren't replaced from within. So it's a lot of guys that came in last year that didn't necessarily know what the Blackhawks were all about. And I think you look at this year's roster up there, their potential roster, a lot more guys that fit in nicely into roles, guys that now have been there for a year. And it's going to be, I think, a lot better year for the Chicago Blackhawks. And from a Rockford standpoint, a lot of the same guys are going to be back here. And, again, these guys know the system and they know what it's all about.
We're going to get into this year's Rockford roster, potential roster, here in a couple seconds. But a couple of things you want to note, it's off-season. You mentioned it, a hectic off-season for you guys. Two things. First of all, the new rink system, the boards and ashers and everything, what's the status on that? I believe the install is going on as we speak or just finished?
No, actually, you're right. They just started doing some of the installation here today, and they actually have to build new risers for this side across from the benches. So that's a process that's starting today, and it has to be done, obviously, by a week from Sunday because that's when training camp starts here in Rockford for the Ice Hogs. So, yeah, it was something that this building needed, a new dasher board system, and I'm glad that we got it. And, the configuration of the rink, and I'm sure that was going to be your next comment or question, is going to change a little bit with now the penalty boxes being across from the benches. So we're not going to be the only rink in the National Hockey League or American Hockey League with their penalty boxes on the same side of the ice surface as the benches. So they are moving across the ice, and we're going to be like everybody else now, and it's going to change a little bit of the seating. We're going to lose a few seats on the opposite end and obviously some prime seats because the penalty boxes and the official scoring box goes right smack dab in the middle of the ice surface there, along the far dasher board. So, but it'll be nice. The boards will be safer. We get, all new glass, and that'll be nice for the fans that sit close there so they can look through some clean panels of glass.
Yeah, the players for a while have been complaining about those boards, so it's good to see that get a new system in there. Also, that's the biggest change to the arena, but the big news over the summer is that the naming rights were leased out to BMO Harris Bank. I think people look at it, they think BMO, but it's actually pronounced BMO. Are you ready for that? Have you been practicing that?
Yeah, a little bit. It is a long name, and everyone's going to say, keeps asking, what are you going to call it? What are you going to call it? And I don't know. I guess the BMO Center. I'm not sure, but yeah, the official name is the BMO Harris Bank Center, and this place was the Rockford Metro Center for the past 30 years. So it's been people have been calling it the Metro Center for a long time. Not as obviously deeply rooted as Comiskey Park, but I know there was some resistance to a lot of fans to calling it U.S. Cellular Field, and that's been probably, 10 years now, and, almost everyone calls it U.S. Cellular. I know there's a lot of people that still call it Comiskey Park or whatever, but it's going to be the same thing here. Give it a couple of years, and everybody will be calling it the BMO or the BMO Harris Bank Center, whatever they want to call it, whatever they want to shorten it to, and I think it'll be fine. But from a building perspective, to sell the naming rights, it was just crucial to this building and its future operations to get that extra cash flow through here. I know you've been to this building several times, Chris, and, hopefully a bunch of your listeners have too. And it's a building that's gone through a whole lot of changes over the last 4 or 5 years. And in order to keep evolving and keep improving, we need that cash flow to come through here. And that naming rights is a great way to do that.
Moving on to the team, of course, the biggest change over the summer, I think, obviously, we should note that the coaching switch, it wasn't a Bill Peters left on his own accord. Bill Peters and the entire coaching staff, as well as Mark Bernard, the GM, they all got extensions. And then it came up that the Detroit Red Wings needed a couple assistant coaches, and Bill Peters rejoins Mike Babcock, who actually started his coaching career as an assistant at Spokane. Opening the door for Ted Dent. I don't think it was a surprising hire at all that Ted Dent was brought along. I think some people kind of thought, including myself, that maybe the Blackhawks would go out and get, maybe a more experienced mentor. But Ted Dent been with, in Rockford for the past 4 years, 5 overall with the Blackhawks. I guess starting off, let's start with Bill Peters. You could correct me if I'm wrong, but my impression of Bill Peters is, for a better way of explaining it, he's very head coachy. He's very much the commander. And he kind of delegates those roles to his assistant coaches to teach. And, of course, Bill, he's on the ice and he's teaching as well. But Bill Peters is very much the commander. How is Ted Dent, in your view, going to be different than Bill Peters was?
Well, you know, it's interesting, you know, because this is Teddy's only his second head coaching job in his coaching career. He coached 1 year in Greenville in the ECHL. So he's, you know, a lot more exuberant right now than what maybe Bill was with the overall picture of the operation. Bill was just solely focused on hockey. You know, the media stuff, he enjoyed doing it, but at the same time, it was just, you know, tell me where I got to be, tell me what I got to do, and I'll do it. Where Teddy's a little bit more structured from that standpoint, and I think that's just, you know, maybe Teddy in his first year of being a head coach at this level, in his second year overall in his coaching career of being the head man, I think he just wants to make sure that he has a grasp on everything. And, you know, I think Teddy's going to do a good job. I mean, it's going to be a young team again. This team is going to have its ups and downs, similar to last year. And, you know, I'm sure we'll get into the roster here in a little bit. But from a coaching perspective, you know, I think Teddy's definitely ready to be the head coach. You know, you mentioned how long he's been the assistant here in the organization with the Hawks AHL affiliate. And, you know, this was his time. And, you know, I agree. There were probably, you know, better-looking candidates out there from a head coaching perspective. But at the same time, if the Hawks didn't have future plans for Ted Dent, then why did they keep re-signing him to contract extensions as the assistant here? And I think it was great that they hired him as the head coach and gave him that promotion. I think he deserves it. And you know what? He's been here for 5 years. He knows what the Hawks are trying to accomplish. He knows the players in the system from prospect camp and obviously from coaching here the last 4 years, five overall in the system. And, you know, it was his time. And if, you know, for Teddy's sake, if he wants to be a head coach, and obviously he does, and he wants to be in the National Hockey League, this is where he should have got his opportunity, so I'm glad he did.
You talk about the team. We look at this roster. You know, I did a little write-up on the site a few weeks ago. This is the youngest group, as of today, this is going to be the youngest group going into the season that the Ice Hogs have ever had.
Mm-hmm.
At about 23 and a half years old, and that's even with the recent signings of Brian Fahey and Brandon Segal. Why don't we talk about Brandon Segal a little bit? Because you know, during the NHL lockout season when he was with Milwaukee, Rockford served as a UHL affiliate of the Milwaukee Admirals and thus the Nashville
mm-hmm.
Predators. You got to see Segal a little bit. Talk about him as a player, what you recall of him.
Well, I mean, that was a clear example how different the United Hockey League was from the American Hockey League. And you know, even at the time it was, I believe he was still considered a rookie. Segal was at the American Hockey League level. Even though he had played the year before for Milwaukee, the second half of the year, and was a part of the called a Cup Championship. But boy, the thing I remember about him is just the quick release and the ability he had to shoot while still skating. Kind of not a trick shot, but basically his feet were still moving and he was still able to release a quick snapshot. And that's something that you see guys at the American Hockey League and obviously guys at the National Hockey League level do. And he just stood out. He had 11 goals in 11 playoff games with us that year, and he was, you know, easily the best guy on the ice for either team. You know, we've had an opportunity to see him a little bit in the American League over the last couple of years. Last year he was with the Texas Stars, and I believe we faced off against him maybe three or four times. And then a couple years back when he was with the Norfolk Admirals, we ended up playing Norfolk four times, so we got to see him a few times there. And you know, he's a you know, the type of player that this roster needs. Both, you know, Segal and Brian Fahey are two guys that really are going to help this roster, those veteran guys. Because up to about 2-3 weeks ago, boy, I mean, the average age of this roster was under 23 years old. And, you know, you look at the additions of those two, just bringing that veteran leadership. And obviously with a guy like Segal, he's going to be a guy that's going to hopefully spend some time up in Chicago this year. You know, whenever the Hawks need some help or, you know, with injuries or whatever. But when he's here, you know, if he's got his head on straight, he's going to be a huge contributor. And I think he's really going to, you know, be one of those guys that can help out the young skaters. Now, he's not a number one or number two line guy necessarily, maybe number two. But, you know, I kind of envision him as being a third line forward that can basically do whatever you need. You know, he can penalty kill, he can play on the power play, and he can be that winger that can really complete a third line. And like I said, at this level, potentially even a second line guy.
You know, talking about the roster turnover from last year, now inevitably, any time that a team finishes last in its division, there are going to be changes, as the Ice Hogs did
mm-hmm.
last year. But let's talk about some of these guys the Ice Hogs have lost. I mean, a lot of size, a lot of experience, and especially scoring with Jeff Tafe. But, you know, the team also lost Evan Brophy, Garnet Exelby, Jason Cullimore, Wade Brookbank. I think a lot of people forget about him as an older
yep.
guy, veteran. that was on that team, Kyle Hagel, Igor Makarov, and Ivan Vishnevsky, decided to go back to Russia, Mathis Olin to the Swedish Elite League. And then you can't forget about this team last year at this stage. He was injured, but they had Hugh Jessamine on the roster, Ryan Platooney, and then, of course, Ben Smith and Nick Leddy. Now, potentially, the Rockford aren't going to have any of those players. If you could pick one or two of those guys that you think that they're going to miss the most, obviously the goals are going to be tough to replace, 30 goals with Jeff Tate, but maybe outside of him, one or two guys, who do you think this team is going to miss the most?
Well, I mean, I have to say Tate is number one, and I will talk about the other guys, but he was the best player we've ever had here, like complete package player. But getting away from him, you know, Hagel filled that role so well, that tough guy but can still play some hockey role. And he was just, he was unbelievable in the locker room. So, you know, overall presence, Kyle, the loss of Kyle Hagel is gonna hurt this hockey team. You know, there's some other guys, you know, there's, you know, Andrew Shaw, a guy like that, Rob Flick. You know, they can play that role. Brandon Bullig is another guy that potentially can play that role. But it's not an easy role to play. And, you know, Hagel, he was a smart guy overall, very smart hockey player. And, you know, he was a tough guy that had a little bit of skill. And, you know, I know that's kind of the new way, the new wave of the tough guy in professional hockey. And besides his size, Hagel, not a very intimidating guy from his size, he had everything else that a tough guy should have. That can make the NHL. You know, I think he was only about 5'10", 5'11", but he'd fight anybody. He was the ultimate team guy, and his work ethic was unbelievable. So I think that's one guy right there that this team is really going to miss. And, you know, you talk about the Exibis and the Cullimores and the guys like that. You know, Jason Cullimore, he's a guy, you know, I chatted with him a couple times at the end of the year. He wants to play pro hockey, and he knows his NHL days are numbered, you know, if not expired. But he just wanted to continue to play. But, I give Cullimore a lot of credit. I know he got a lot of grief in Chicago, and he was up for about 40, 41 games last year. When he came back down to Rockford for that last probably third of the season or whatever it was, boy, he really played well, and I think he really helped the young players. And, you know, I don't know how much he would have helped the Ice Hogs this year. I don't know how much he would have been in to the American Hockey League. He ended up signing over in, I believe, was it Germany, I believe.
Yeah.
But, you know, he was a guy at the end of the year. The Ice Hogs went on that big tear. I think it was 17 wins out of our last 24, 25 games. And he was a huge part of that. I mean, he really helped solidify the back end and really helped a guy like Sean Lalonde around. You know, he had obviously Connolly's back there and, you know, guys with experience. But Ryan Stan's another guy that I know he helped a lot. So, you know, I think, you know, that's going to be a loss as well on the back end.
Kyle Hagel's a guy, you bring him up, you know, there was a night at the end of the year in Rockford against Hamilton when that line of Evan Brophy at center, Igor Makarov on the right side, and Kyle Hagel on the left, for a solid six or seven games, quietly that line had come together and was really the energy line that was boosting the team at the time. And then it all fell apart that night. Evan Brophy with the blindside hit that knocked him out for the rest of the year. Makarov shortly thereafter gets hurt. He misses most of the rest of the year. And then Hagel kind of went, you know, kind of got bumped back down to that fourth line, you know, bumped around. But, you know, that line was one of the better trios that were on that team all of last year. So, and, you know, Hagel is probably, you know, short, you know, maybe 5'10", 5'11". I think he was like 5'11". But he was built, and as you said, he was a workaholic, you know, very strong, kind of like that Ben Smith. Maybe not tall, but, you know, very, you know, a workout guy, very thick and strong and durable.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, and you mentioned the other two guys. You know, Makarov's another guy that I think this team is going to miss. Now, he wasn't very consistent last year. You know, he was, you know, trying to figure out the North American game and, you know, being away from home, whatever. He had a lot of adjustments, you know, away from the game and with the game of hockey that he had to make. So, but when he was working, he was fun to watch. And the same thing with Evan Brophy. And Brophy, work ethic was never Brophy's issue. I mean, I think he was one of those guys that coming out of the Ontario Hockey League, his offensive staff were pretty bloated. So I think a lot of people expected a lot more offense out of him. But when he found his niche here, you know, he was a solid player. And unfortunately for him, he'd been in the system for 4 years, and, you know, it had just come time for the organization to kind of part ways with him and bring in the next prospect. And that's just kind of the business of professional hockey. And, you know, he's in Colorado now, and hopefully he gets an opportunity there. So, and with Makarov, you know, I just don't think Makarov ever really felt really comfortable being away from home. you know, I'm not going to say he hated it here. I don't think that was the case. I think he enjoyed his time here. But, boy, he got a heck of a contract offer over in Russia. And, you know, I know he really wanted to play in the NHL, but obviously it was more important for him to play closer to home. So, yeah, he's a guy that this team is going to miss as well, especially because I think he would have been a whole lot more consistent this year, second time around, than he was last year.
Yeah, and he was away. He was at least a year away from playing NHL hockey. So the money talked, I think, in that situation.
$3.3 million of it, right?
Yeah. Let's talk about getting back to the leadership portion of this team. I think that with Brandon Siegel, Brian Fahey, the old Chicago Wolves defenseman, coming
yep.
down here, you know, to Rockford, and then also presumably Brett McClain coming over from Europe.
Yep.
He's got a chance at that fourth line role in Chicago, but I think he's kind of targeted for Rockford. If a numbers game doesn't work out for Ben Smith and he finds his way somehow back to Rockford, maybe throwing him into that, who do you expect to be? Where's that leadership going to come from? You talk about Exelby, Cullimore, Brookbank, Hagel, all these guys,
mm-hmm.
Tate, Fultuny. Where's that leadership going to come from on this team?
Well, I mean, it's got to come from the older guys, naturally. Again, it's going to be a very young team. The majority of this hockey team is going to be a rookie or a second-year pro. So it's going to be a bunch of guys that are, you know, even talk about a guy like Ben Smith. Now, he's a lot more mature than your typical second-year guy. 4 years of college at Boston College and, you know, just a kid that has it all together. But I think, you know, you have to look at the McClains, the Fahey's, you know, guys like that. Even a Rob Klinkhammer, I think he's a guy that this team is really going to look upon for some leadership. Brian Connolly is another one that this organization, or this the Ice Hogs at least, are going to look at to be a leader on the back line. So there are some guys that have been around. And, you know, you talk about a guy like Ben Smith, it's not uncommon. We've seen it here actually 3 out of the 4 years that we've been affiliated with the Blackhawks. We saw it with Dustin Byfuglien. We saw it with Troy Brouwer. I'm trying to think who we saw with third year, but there was another player that we saw the Hawks send down here. And they played. They were here in Rockford for anywhere from, you know, 3 weeks to a month, and then they got recalled to Chicago, and that was it. They were gone for the year. So, you know, you look at a guy like Ben Smith, that could be the case. But you also got to remember, Chris, that the Hawks have a little bit more room on the salary cap this year than what they've had the last 2 years. So they might actually carry an extra player on their roster up there because they do have that wiggle room.
Yeah, I think with Chicago, depending on, you know, how many defensemen they keep, I think it's a roster number game up there. Whether John Scott remains as a swing guy as their eighth defenseman, a lot depending on how Rusty Oles looks in training camp. If they decide to make a minor move with one of those, because it seems like the Blackhawks have a lot of fourth liners right now.
Yeah,
I do want to continue on because I think a big key for this year's Rockford IceHogs team, and you talk about the loss of all that scoring, it's getting scoring from places that it just did not exist last year. And I think, you know, you talk about Rob Klinkhammer. I think a line early on that could be very important for the initial success, getting off to a good start, is Klinkhammer in that spot, you know, on that, you know, where Evan Brophy used to be. You know, maybe you see Klinkhammer. Pete LeBlanc, in my mind, at least early on, is going to try to move into that Evan Brophy spot,
mm-hmm.
maybe with Seagal on a wing. But that's the key, I think, especially early on to the season, while the young guys get their legs under them, figure it out again, because, again, you got a lot of first-year guys, is getting scoring from guys like Pete LeBlanc
mm-hmm.
in that Evan Brophy role that you didn't get a lot of scoring from last year. And then also, and this is the guy you know, he wasn't around a lot last year, but this is his time. He's got to do it now. Christy Domenico. You know, is there any other guys, or talk about those guys and where maybe some scoring is going to come from that we're not expecting it as of right now?
Yeah, I'm first with Christy Domenico. He was a guy, you know, from the start of the year, and I don't know what his mindset was, but he just kind of played and acted like a guy that expected to be here and expected to get the playing time. And again, not saying that he wasn't working hard, because that's not the case, at least off the ice. I was able to see him off the ice quite a bit. You know, I think that the transition for him to the American Hockey League was a bit overwhelming. And when he came back at the end of the year, which was a little bit by default because there were some injuries here. You mentioned Makarov going down with the injury. Then he had Brophy getting suspended. You know, he ended up getting some playing time, and I thought he did take that next step to not solidifying a spot for this year, but, you know, being a guy that you really, I think, if he comes into camp in good shape and puts forth that, you know, that type of performance, I think he's going to be making a good push to make this roster. And, you know, hopefully it's not another case like Evan Brophy where those stats from the, you know, Quebec Major League there were inflated a little bit because, you know, everybody knows the offense out there can really fly. You know, just making that adjustment, making that transition to the pro game. And, you know, so this will be an important training camp for DiDomenico and, you know, not necessarily to make the team, but at least make that impression that, you know what, I came here to work and I want to be on this hockey team. And if he's the first recall guy, you know, maybe like LeBlanc last year, maybe gets called up in November, December, and then he doesn't go back down to Toledo. So, you know, there's a lot going for a guy like DiDomenico. And like you said, there's opportunities to be had. But, you know, looking at other guys that could hopefully fill in that role. You know, there's a guy, Paul Zanette, that he was assigned to an American Hockey League deal. He was actually a Hobey Baker Award finalist last year at Niagara University. I want to say he was in the top two or three in the country in scoring. He played with Hamilton down the stretch and played with them in the postseason. He could be a wild card guy right there that could add some offense. But then, of course, you look at that other guys like maybe a Philippe Paradis, a David Gilbert, Rob Flick, Andrew Shaw, we've mentioned both those guys already, but, you know, those are guys there that could add to the offense. And another guy that I'm really, really curious to see this year and pretty excited to watch develop is Jimmy Hayes. You know, he's a big body guy at 6'5", you know, 220 pounds or so. And, you know, he's a big body guy, you know, maybe kind of like a Troy Brower type, that he's going to be a lot of fun to watch develop this year. And he got a good taste of the American Hockey League last year playing in about 6-7 games with the Ice Hogs. So, there's definitely the potential to get that, I guess you can say, secondary scoring. But these guys, you know, they got to earn it. That's the big thing between this level and the NCAA level or the junior level. You can't just rely on your talent. You can't have those off nights because if you do that, you're going to be shut down. And I think a lot of the guys last year saw that, you know, even the guys like Peary or even like a Jeremy Morin who had success up in Chicago, you know, guys like that, they found out that you really have to work here at the AHL level.
Talking about the defense, I Jimmy Hayes especially, because he had a big rookie camp back in July in Chicago. A lot of people excited about him. Paradis, who got injured on Saturday night in the prospect tournament, don't know the extent of that. And then David Gilbert, he's had two years. He's come in, get a little cup of coffee at the end of the Ice Hogs regular season and playoff. So, you know, he should be ready. I think the guy, and I want to talk about the defense, because the defense is, as of right now, it looks like Brian Connolly and then Fahey, Ryan Stanton, Sean Lalonde, Dylan Olsen, and the guy that I want to talk about, Joe Lavin. He's impressed me so much, and even the very little I saw of him last year and that last weekend, he's a very calm, smoothing, you know, influence on that defense. If the Ice Hogs defense is going to be good this year and going to be responsible, I think a lot of it is key on his development and how well he adjusts to his first pro season.
Yeah, you know, and I haven't been around Joe Lavin enough, but he kind of reminds me of a Ben Smith, only a defenseman. You know, a kid, he went, you know, 4 years university. He finished his last 2 years at Notre Dame. You know, so you know he's got a good work ethic. You know, you start hearing schools like Boston College and Notre Dame and schools like that, you know, and guys getting their degrees from there, you know that they obviously have a work ethic and they have some priorities in line. So I'm looking forward to him as well. The two guys I'm really looking forward to is Gilbert and Lavin this year. And again, we just saw Lavin for a couple of games last year. I'm sure he's going to have his ups and downs. And Chris, you know this, when you're playing defense, you stick out a lot more when you make a mistake. Forwards can hide a whole lot easier than defensemen can. So, you know, he's a guy that, you know, I'm looking forward to coming in here. And, you know, he can be anywhere from a number three to a number six, I think, this year on the Ice Hogs defense. I mean, obviously with the, you know, potential, maybe he can be a number three guy by the end of the year. You know, he was a smooth skater the two games I saw him, and he can move the puck, and he seemed like he was responsible in the zone. So once again, time will tell. It's hard to pass judgment on someone after just two games. But I liked what I saw early on with Joe Lavin. So, you know, the defense, it's going to be young again, but like you said, you just rattled off basically what the Ice Hogs six defensemen are going to be. You know, Fahey is a vet. You know, Connolly's been a guy that's been here for two full years. You know, Ryan Stanton, I think Stanton right now has got to be the number one call-up guy for the Chicago Blackhawks. I just love the way that he progressed last year. So there's three guys right there. And obviously everybody's still in love with Dylan Olsen, a guy that, I see the potential. I know he still has a ways to go. But as I understand it, he came into prospect camp in a lot better shape. And, This will be interesting to see how he comes into Hawks training camp on Saturday, and then probably inevitably down to Rockford after that, and just to kind of see how he progresses this year. So you're talking about four pretty solid defensemen, and we didn't even mention Joe Lavin yet in that top four. So the defense for Rockford could be pretty strong this year, and we'll see where Lavin kind of fits into that fold.
Finishing up with the goaltending, a little bit of a question mark going on right now is Ray Emery with the tryout with the Blackhawks. Alexander Salak, the Czech goaltender, played in the Swedish Elite League, one of the top goaltenders over there last year, coming over. He's going to be battling for the backup job behind Corey Crawford in Chicago. He could wind up in Rockford, still don't know. But as of right now, you got Alex Richards and also Carter Hutton, who was with the San Jose Sharks last year. Didn't play in the NHL, but he backed up Antti Niemi. Let's just talk about Richards last season. He had his ups and downs. It seemed like that Richards and Toivonen sort of traded off good performances. They'd, play 2-3 games in a row good, and then they'd have a stinker, and then it would switch off. You expect Richards to come back and have a good season. What are you hearing about Richards right now heading into training camp?
Well, I haven't heard a whole lot, but this is where this hockey team this year reminds me a lot about the Ice Hawks from last year. Well, it's young, obviously, across the board. But, again, the goaltending is a huge question mark. And, I'm just going to assume that Salak's going to make the team and that Emery's going to find another home. I mean, that's basically what I'm assuming, is going to happen in Chicago. So, if Richards and Hutton do start here, it's a huge year for Alec Richards. He's a guy that he progressed last year. He did a good job, but I don't think he progressed maybe necessarily as well or as much. I shouldn't say as well, just as much as Chicago probably would have hoped. But he's got a 2-year contract now, so he's got another 2 years in the organization. And if that happens, if Salak gets that backup job in Chicago behind Crawford, and Emery does sign on elsewhere and doesn't come down here, which I think is obviously not very low possibility that's going to happen. This is, Richards is going to get a lot of playing time. Carter Hutton put up some good numbers last year in Worcester. And like you mentioned, he was up in San Jose for a good month, backing up Antti Niemi on and off last year. But this will be, Richards' net. So it's going to be a good opportunity for him to establish himself as number one. And every goalie likes a lot of minutes. And if that's the case, if that's the way that the dominoes kind of fall, Richards potentially could see a whole lot of minutes here this year in Rockford. And hopefully really kind of establish himself and get into that goaltending rhythm. And if he does, the Hawks will know exactly what they have in him. Goalies take a while to develop. And, you look at a guy like Crawford, what was he in the system 5 years before he got his chance up in Chicago as a full-time player? And, Richards is just in his third full-time pro season, second full-time here in the American Hockey League. So it's hard to be patient with goalies, that's for sure. But I think it's inevitable. You have to be patient with them and really try to develop them along.
We should also point out that, Stefan Wade up in Chicago deservedly so, gets a lot of credit for the development of some of these young Blackhawk goaltenders, Crawford and Niemi, that have come up. But the Ice Hogs, in particular, lost Wade Flaherty this summer to Winnipeg.
Mm-hmm.
And new goaltending coach coming in, Andrew Allen, is going to be there to mentor these guys. So minor change, but it could be of some significance there. So Richards gets someone else to work with. Of course, Richards was mentored a bit by Mike Richter, back in college. So a little bit of a change there. Mike, Jeremy Morin, I'd be remiss if I didn't ask this question. Jeremy Morin's a prospect.
The wild card, right?
Yeah, he's at prospect tournament. I haven't heard anything, but I know that he hasn't played in the first two games this weekend. Anything that you've heard? I know that Morin went over to Switzerland with the Blackhawks and trained over there. I know he's working out. I know that everything seems good, but what have you heard of Morin, and what do you expect for him this season?
I've heard basically that. I heard that it's kind of workouts as normal for him. So as for Hawks fans out there, that's the best news that you can have for Jeremy Morin. And I guess the biggest thing with it, really any prospect, but Morin in particular, no need to rush him. I mean, here's a kid that's 20 years old. He's just the beginning, what's hopefully going to be a very long, professional career that, hopefully 90% of it is played in the National Hockey League. So for Morin, I'd like to see him, he's probably going to start the year in Rockford. Just come here, get his confidence back, get his game back on track, And I say back on track because any time that you see a player that suffers from a concussion, especially one that kept them out of the lineup like what Morin had, you know, you just want them to kind of get their mojo back on the ice, you know, get back to doing what you know what to do and get that confidence back up. So that's what I foresee for Jeremy Morin. And you know what, if he plays well, maybe he gets a couple of calls up to Chicago and get some more NHL games under his belt. But, you know, just let the kid kind of get his bearings back and, you know, let him develop. And that's the big thing. You look at the Detroit Red Wings, and I know Hawks fans hate when they hear compliments about Detroit, but that's one thing they do extremely well is develop their players and let them almost overdevelop in Grand Rapids. So, and I'm not trying to say this from a selfish standpoint, so I could see Jeremy Morin, he played for a whole year, but I just think that for him, I think it would be great for him, just no pressure, just go out and play your game, you know, and get back to doing what you do so well, because he's a guy, he showed up last year in Chicago, he's a smart hockey player, and I think he's a guy that could be a very solid second-line guy that can put up some points. But, you know, Morin's kind of starting back at square one, and, you know, hopefully his health holds up and he can make it through training camp and start the season healthy. So I think that's the main objective for him.
He could use the time to work on the intangibles, because there's no question, Mike, you would know this and agree with this. I mean, when at the end there, before he left to go play in the World Junior Tournament, and even that brief glimpse that we saw of him when he came back in Rockford, when he touched the puck, everybody knew something was about to happen offensively.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it even at the time, I think if more people would have seen the injury, where the injury occurred, I think people understand more about why he's been out as long as he has. It was a nasty-looking fall. He got up and skated off. It didn't look good. You know, he could use time to work on those intangibles and have offensively have success, but also you know, get back into his comfort zone, get that confidence back, and maybe mm-hmm. put a little bit of muscle on, and he'll look good. I want to finish up the Ice Hawks schedule this year is very favorable. I think you guys are going to spend about 30 days total on the road. You know, so not a lot of plane trips, not a lot of overnight trips, and a lot of practice time early. You think that's going to have obviously is going to have a profound effect positively on this team early on.
Yeah, and you know, it was similar last year with the light October. I think last year was even lighter in October. But yeah, I think so. And I want to say, you know, Ted Dent actually ran down the schedule with me last week before they left for Oshawa. And he mentioned, I think there's something like 9 more practice days this year than what there were last year. And players might not like to hear that, but coaches love to hear that because it's more time to work on the ice. And, you know, especially with a young group. So, yeah, from a travel standpoint, it's a very good schedule. Now, the American Hockey League, they shortened the schedule by 4 games, but they lengthened it by 1 week. So the games are a little bit more spread out, and then we're a little bit more heavy within the division. So instead of playing Chicago, Milwaukee, and Peoria 10 times, we're playing those 3 teams 12 times each. So, you know, that's 8 less games in Texas or – you know, Oklahoma City or wherever we got to go, albeit Charlotte's in the division now, but it's still a little bit less of that longer travel like you just mentioned. Even the bus rides to Grand Rapids, which is almost a rougher trip than hopping on a plane and going down to Texas or going to Oklahoma City or wherever we're going. So, yeah, it's a pretty good schedule. It's not an easy job, but there's always quirks in them, that's for sure. But overall, yeah, I think the schedule plays out pretty well, and we're home a lot in early December, and it's actually a great time to be home, because after you kind of get through that first month and a half of the season, you know, hopefully, especially with a young team, some of these guys start putting it together, and that'd be a nice time to go on a little bit of a tear before we hit the Christmas holiday break there.
All right, Mike, it's about 2 weeks away, September 28th, Wednesday night. The first preseason game opens up on September 28th, that night, Wednesday night. Then, of course, the Rockford IceHogs season opener on Saturday night, October the 8th, against Grand Rapids. Advanced tickets are available for all games now at icehogs.com, mm-hmm. and also
968-5222. I got that one down. I guess that's what happens when you're on the job for 10 years. You memorize the ticket number. Yeah, 815-968-5222.
And the tickets, advanced tickets are $7, $13, $16, $19, $22, and $26 on the glass. So, check that out, and of course icehogs.com. Mike's got a blog up there that you can check out, and thanks for joining us again, Mike. We'll see you soon, and good luck this season, and and all the rest of that stuff.
All right, Chris. Thanks a lot. Thanks for having me, as always.
All right. Thanks, Mike.
Hey, no problem. Anytime, Chris. And we'll be seeing you soon. I'm sure we'll be chatting about the upcoming season. Actually, we got a pass made for you, and just let me know when you can make it out.
All right. I'll be talking to you soon.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Yeah.
All right. We've got only a couple minutes here left to go. I just want to take care of some website business, and then we'll be back a little bit later on this week. I'm not exactly sure when. But we're going to do another show here later this week as we march on towards 100, and then we can put this this podcast to bed. I'm going to 100, and then this is it. The Third Man In Radio will be over at that point. A couple of things. If you haven't gone to thethirdmanin.com, or you can now get it to by going puckchatter.com, a couple of the Blackhawks rookie tournament over the weekend, games against Toronto and Ottawa. Both those games, the Blackhawks lost 4-2 to Toronto on Saturday night, and then Sunday afternoon, quick turnaround for most of the kids. Only a few lineup changes there. Lost 6-5 in a very entertaining game, apparently. I didn't see either game. The write-ups are on the website now by Brad, our on-location correspondent. Brad Vandenberg did a couple of write-ups for you. He attended both games, so... Apparently both very, very entertaining games, but the Blackhawks dropped both of those. Brandon Saad is having a great tournament. He should be in his comfort zone there. That's OHL hockey, OHL arena, and he's got a lot to prove. Christy Domenico had a good first game, a goal in that one. And Jimmy Hayes, both Saad and Hayes had two goals in Sunday's game, so good there. Our season previews will continue. We've got Marian Hossa, Sean O'Donnell, Sammy Lapisto and Dave Bolin coming up this week, so check that out on the website, and also much, much more. And that's going to do it for me. Special afternoon edition. I got to get back to work. Thanks everybody for listening, and we will talk to you pretty soon. Good day, everybody.
Whoa, baby!